You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area of New Jersey and Northern Delaware. And if you live outside the city of Philadelphia and the tri-state area, you can listen live on the internet by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. As I say always on my Saturday show, go to your telephone and invite family members and friends to tune in because we have a very exciting hour to share with you. On board today is Rich Logis and Mark Andel. And of course, Larkin Connolly is on travel today. And I want to first of all begin our broadcast by saying how much we appreciate our listeners. So many people have stood up for American made and the situation in America. They contacted their national elected leaders, although in many cases things did not go our way because they were bought off by other ideas. But many people are getting into the groove of contacting people who are being paid as elected officials to do a job, and they haven't been doing that. But we're going to talk about that today. I want to, first of all, thank all of you for going out and supporting National Small Business Weekend every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. This is the first full weekend of the month, and of course, it's 4th of July Independence Day weekend, which I want to talk about that a little later on in today's broadcast as well. And I'm asking you to go out and support your small businesses because they are the lifeline of America. And as you go to their stores, you help them to make a profit, support their businesses, and keep their people employed. Don't be afraid to speak up and let them know that you listen to programs like this and that you're influenced by ideas like National Small Business Weekend, because we're really doing our best to help America. I wish there were more people in the media, more people in national offices that could help, but that just doesn't seem to be happening. Now, one more thing before I go to Rich and Mark. I want to say that last week we talked about lowering the corporate taxes. Now, believe it or not, guys, and many listeners, many people tell me that they don't even understand the tax structure and why people would have taken their businesses out of America. And that is because, I'll clarify it once again, because not only are the businesses taxed locally, say just in the city of Philadelphia or any other place, Buffalo, New York, or Tampa, Florida, they have a local tax. Then they have a state tax. They get several state taxes. And then the federal corporate taxes added on to that. And so when you add all those taxes up, it really takes a big chunk out of your income. Then when you have to pay your employees, your electric, your insurance, and all your telephone and all the other surrounding expenses, that is why the people don't want to go into businesses that often as they did in the past. And that's why some of the businesses moved out of the country, because they could avoid all the operational costs, the cost of insuring a manufacturing building, the cost of paying health care for their employees, matching FICA, the federal income tax. You pay 7.65, the employer pays 7.65. These are many costs which people do not realize. They think that every penny that walks in the door from a customer and every dollar that goes into the cash register certainly does benefit the business. Well, it benefits the business, but there are many, many expenses along the way. And 10 years ago, I was looking at some of my records. I said, national politicians are really strangers to all of us. They don't know any of you listening. They don't care about you. They don't care about your families. They only care about themselves. And part of the reason of that happening is because none of us ever asked these politicians for their results in the first 2 years of their office in writing. They come out and they politic, and then the next thing you know, they're forgotten. Everybody just goes into their own little thing and does nothing to bring them to task. I think it's time we do some follow-up on this kind of stuff, start asking people for follow-up statements as employees of ours. We pay them to go to Washington, to go to the state houses, and also to be local representatives of our cities and towns. They don't pay us. We pay them through our taxes. It's time to speak up, and I'm bringing all that up today because this week I was out on several events, and of course, we have many events taking place here in Philadelphia to mark Independence Day, and I know that I'll see at least 400 people on the 4th of July, and so I know many of those people listen in, and I want to thank you for spreading the word about what we are trying to do. We have to make America number one. If news media people do their job, national elected do their job, and all of us do our job, America will improve and, of course, continue to be truly the greatest nation on earth with good education, good jobs, and people able to save money, not just spend money. Mark, you heard it from me. What would you like to add to that?
Hi, how you doing, Mike, and listeners, and Rich? Mike, I love it. You hit everything right off the bat. You know, just backing up a little bit, you started with the cost, and people sometimes don't have an understanding what a business goes through. You hit me at a great time, and thank you. I just came out of my end-of-the-month meeting with accounting. So, you know, we're talking about costs and taxes and estimated taxes, and a lot of people don't really understand that cost. But generally in New York, on every dollar, you're going to pay 42% to 50%. You're going to give that back to either local and state tax, and then there's corporate tax for New York. And then they also charge you a franchise tax for being in business, even as General Welding and Fabricating. So a lot of people don't know, but it's all cost of sale. And then you've got to sell it enough to cover your cost of sale. And, you know, you get highs and lows. And, Rich, you know in business you get good months and bad months, and that's what we're talking about. And then by the end of the year, you got to make sure you made enough to stay in business, number one, and hopefully made a little profit to grow and maybe buy equipment and, you know, give out benefits or bonuses and things like that. So there's a lot to understanding what makes a business operate, and I'm always trying to train and teach our employees just to get that understanding down. So I'm glad you touched on that, Mike. I think, you know, the climate where you were talked about, you know, politicians and a lot of government people they're about their self, and they don't really understand what the average worker and working person goes through. And it's important that they do gather that understanding, because how can you help a person if you don't understand what they need?
You know, Mark, if I asked you, did any politician in the last year call you on the phone? Now, I would consider you, with the number of people that you have, did any politician call you and say, Mark, I want to thank you for all the good you're doing for our community? If you have any job openings, make sure you let us know. Is there some way we can help you? Did any politician call you to do that?
No, you must have talked to my father, Mike. He's always asking me that. He's always very, very surprised that nobody's actually came and, you know, offered, you know, help in some type of way. And we talk about incentives or lowering. You know, I've had good people. I've got great community. I can't ever say I don't. I had one Senator Galvin give me a proclamation for our 5 years being in business at the Made in America store this year, so I want to recognize that. But nobody really ever called, Mike. You know, there's been a few that wanted a picture with me in front of the store for you-know-what reason.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of cut that off. You know, I didn't want – we're for the good of the good. You know, we're making difference as common people and a great team. You know, having 5 stores, 3 websites, up to 6,600 products, still being open, we're making a statement. To me, our store makes a statement that people can make a difference.
Now, Mark, another thing is you mentioned about them bringing the proclamation. did any politician say, I'm going to have so-and-so day, Mark Endel day, or their name, Joe Blow, is the politician, at your store to bring attention to your store, to bring some business to your store. It's absolutely no.
No, only one person ever did that for me, and that's Michael Blehash.
I want to tell you, I was riled up. I was very riled up yesterday.
I'm serious.
I had to come in front of the building. You know where we are on Walnut Street. Well, I came and there was a lady. She was getting into her car and she had a ticket on it. And she came out and the meter person happened to be walking by. I don't even know if that was the meter person. And so she said, I can't believe I was 3 minutes over. How I rushed to get here. And the meter person said, ma'am, it's a privilege to park on our streets. You have to mind your time and make sure your parking fee is paid. And I thought, wow, we've really hit the bottom of the barrel.
I gotta admit, you know, when I was down there, and you know, thank you, God bless you, it was a great time. But when we showed the movie and nobody had the parking, and then the parking tickets, I remember right in front of your place, incredible.
Yeah, they hunt. And that Wednesday night was free, but still in all, they come and they hunt. But this is what politicians do.
But that hurts businesses.
It hurts businesses, you know? Because people get burned and they say, well, I'm not going there. They said on a certain night it's free and this and that, and it's a little bit of a hassle. They come looking to see if you're 1 inch over the sign where it says loading zone. This is insanity. Total insanity. But this is what I said earlier. The politicians don't know you personally. Mark, if any politician came over and said, I'd like to have lunch with you, I'd like to know what you've done and how you could duplicate that within our community. I'm sure there must be 10 other guys who would like to duplicate some stores, maybe some special products that they know of or have available. There's nobody like that. No one cares.
Yeah, it's a shame, you know, when you mention it that way, because I'd gladly have lunch. And, you know, sometimes if it's jealous or, you know, they're about their self or they're just on a different agenda. But really, business owners and livelihoods are number one.
And I am saying this all because over this 4th of July and during the summer, many of the people will be seeing politicians. Don't be afraid to ask them questions, because you pay them through your taxes to do a job. You want to know if they're doing the job, and don't hesitate to ask them the same kind of questions you ask me directly. Some questions that I get from people are almost unbelievable. I would like to see them ask that of these elected officials. And why shouldn't they? And all these people standing behind rope lines and all, and, oh, don't, you know, say much. You know, you only have 1 second with the personal. Oh, please. I'm tired of all that. To be part of a cast of 1,000. That's why, you know, Larkin said something last week and a few of the people picked up on it. And I thought that was very good, because Larkin gives you some of those lines that come from nowhere. And I love that. He said something like, Michael, a lot of those people are paid to be at those events. They come already prepared to know when to clap and all that stuff. And it's true. Because when you go to some of the events, it seems that 95% of the people all know each other. It's like they call up other office, political office, and say, I'm having this rally or this gathering. Make sure you send 2-3 people to come and be part of the cast of 1,000. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate people. Just like this first Friday is coming up. Friday the 3rd, on the 4th of July, no matter what you do, make sure you go out and support your local businesses. Look for your flags. Fly your flags. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But, Rich, you've been extra quiet today listening.
Well, I wanted to tell Mark, good morning, guys. Good morning to our listeners. Mark, if you said Michael Blehash is the one doing it, with friends like Michael, you don't need any enemies. Trust me. Believe me, coming down. I just want to say, Michael, first, a couple things. I'm here listening intently to you guys talking here, and a few things. I just want to wish great holiday Independence Day holiday to our listeners, to everyone, to Larkin. I'm sorry he's not with us today. There's a lot right now, Michael, in the news and continues to be in the news over this trade agreement. So our listeners will really serve themselves well to look at the many published reports of what this is, what it's at least believed to be, and published reports about what I consider one of its most significant flaws, which is it's just a continuance. Not that the president has started this, he's just continuing it. It's a continuance of abdicating our sovereignty and autonomy to other nations. And one of our listeners, who's also been our guest, Michael, Jim Austin, who was on with us a while ago, had talked about that. He had talked about what happens when a nation can become more and more dependent. And unfortunately, only really bad things can happen from that. So we're left in a position with this trade agreement where we're in a wait and see. And unfortunately, wait and see is not always, that's not really, I think that for the people in the United States who do care, Michael, because I will agree with you about many, and Larkin said it, many don't care. I mean, many in America have no idea what this even is. If you, for $1 billion even, put on front of them and ask them what this TPP agreement was, they would have no idea.
Well, you know, Larkin and I were talking last week. They didn't have the access to the agreement. I understand today, as of today, most of the people who voted for it still have not read it, because the leadership, the caucus leadership, says it's going to help us, so they went for it. I mean, I don't know if this is as bad as the Affordable Care Act, because it's going to allow some additional things to happen where the countries are going to talk about tariffs and things like and of that nature. But it's still, they did not read it before they voted for it.
Now, guys, my nephew gave me an article, Obama's trade agenda moves past key Senate hurdle. And then, Rich, there's Trade Promotion Authority, which is TPA, and then they passed this Trade Promotion Authority, but then they're working on a TPP. But then there was an agreement between the two. I think the vote was like 60-37. But the Senate, they were talking about, well, if you pass the worker assistance bill, we'll give you the TPP. Do you know much about that, Rich? Because one, it just seems crazy to me.
Now, the worker assistance bill, Mark, it's insane, because what that is providing a fund where displaced workers in America, because jobs are being gobbled up and taken elsewhere,
right.
are given money, like an unemployment compensation, for so long until they're able to get another job. It's insanity.
On one hand, though, we're going to give our jobs away with the TPP.
And then give assistance.
We want a bill that's going to allow assistance for the people that lost their jobs.
Exactly. It's almost insane. When I read that, I read these things and I pretend to myself it's not really happening, but it is happening. And that leadership says, well, over a period of 10 years, it will balance out. Well, my question is, what happens between now and the end of 10 years?
And who's covering that assistance bill? The few workers left, right?
That's right. And that's the insanity part of it. I believe everything should be on the table. And that is why we talked a few weeks ago about this 5 or 6 or 10 point plan. I'm going to ask all of you. And in fact, I received a few responses from listeners who would like to add some suggestions to this 5 or 10 point plan that we start attacking the national elected people who want to go for president. There's so many people now running for president. My God, there won't be a stage in any auditorium to house them all. And now they're probably going to have a 2 or 3 different discussions and then weed themselves out. It's insane. But Rich, that is true. they were looking to provide that assistance. Now, if any person has been unemployed in the audience, you know that a job is important to you. You know that if you lose that job, at least you have unemployment compensation. But how, maybe with the fact that you might be getting back to work within a given period of time because it was a slow season or whatever. But when the job leaves the country, there's no possibility for you to regain that job, is what I'm trying to say. And that's where the assistance, the worker assistance program, would have cut in and just been another waste of time. We would add more to the 92 million people not in the workforce. And that's the way they thought it was good. And the one elected official I did speak to said to me, well, within a 10-year period, Michael, you will see it will balance out. And I thought of Henry. I thought to myself, here he is with a wife and four kids. Do you want to hear that, Henry? We'll wait 10 years to balance that out.
If you wait long enough, the manufacturing, over 30 years we gave away will balance out too, right?
Now, one more thing I'm going to say, because Rich started this last week by saying, and one particular man was very, interested in what he had to say. Last week we talked about companies that left America and won't be back. You remember that, Rich?
And not coming back in any time in the near future, Mike.
Well, there is a very good suggestion that came from a man who was celebrating his 50th birthday. He said to me, well, Michael, then it's time for us to focus on opening new businesses in America that provide the same type of products that they took overseas. And let's spend our money on the stuff made here and the hell with the other countries. That's his response. He said, as soon as the people get that message that jobs are leaving and they're going to stay away, as long as the merchandisers and all have their profits coming in, well, then why should we continue it? Cut them. Only American made. And that's what I've been telling people for the last 10, 12 years. Buy American made, look for, ask for, speak up in for it, and you'll see. When the stores have so much product on their shelf, foreign made, they're going to say, well, wait a minute, too many customers are coming in, and they're asking about, what do you have American made? Mark, your store, you mentioned something not long ago that it's time to have an American made store in every city, maybe even put it next to a Walmart. Believe it or not, people thought that was a good idea.
Absolutely. That would be, if I could leave and have a store as the flag of the country and always remind people, you touched on it, made in America, it matters so much and it's changing. We've been strong lately. But, I think the climate right now, there's a lot of unsettlement in the economy. It's tough times already. Again, we see it. We've got tough weather up here in New York with the rains lately. But we see unsettledness, unconfidence building early here. And I thought it would take it until the election year, but it's tough times. So people going out buying Made in America products, that's where people can shine. That's where people can get involved and make change.
And speaking up, believe me when I tell you, I love to go to different events and speak to people. Everywhere I go, I give one of my little cards or my flyers, and people say, I got the message. I do speak up. Thanks for all you do. And the little businesses tell me things are getting better because people are coming in. Some people say, I'm trying to support you because I don't want my neighborhood to go down. I want this store to stay here. I know that you employ so-and-so who lives a few blocks away. They didn't think for a long time they were asleep. Now they have woken up, and I want to thank Mark for your participation, because you've added a whole new dimension to the thing by starting the store, maintaining the store, being so direct about not taking anything in that was not 100% made in America, including a stapler and everything else, the staple that clips it together. That made an impression on people. Some people are, believe it or not, sit in the background and don't say too much. And that's what I call the silent majority is now starting to speak with their dollars. And that's good. You don't have a dollar in your pocket, you're not going to be able to spend it on anything. So let's spend it on something where we'll be able to circulate more of our dollars here in the USA. Yes, Rich.
There's been, when you mentioned at the outset about the corporate tax rate, I mean, that's been talked about for, I mean, God knows how many years, right? There's a video that's floating around on YouTube talking that's from one of the so-called debates between President Obama and Mitt Romney in 2012, and what it is clips from the from their so-called debate where they're saying the same thing.
You know, Rich, there is one thing.
The same thing, and one of the things that they said the same thing of is corporate taxation. So if you take that, Michael, as an isolated issue, and right now, today, the Congress went ahead and forgave past tax and lowered the tax rate, then there's the question of whether that money is going to come back here. Because the purpose of when I had suggested on air about maybe entirely doing away with it, and I had several contact me afterwards who listened to the show, like, well, why do you want to give a no tax to corporations? And it's not that I want to, Michael. I'm gonna reiterate what I've said before, which is the gazillionaires have won. So the reason that the gazillionaires are talked about, gazillionaires are ping-ponged around, Michael, just like, you know, immigrants and gay and lesbian and minorities in America, because they have to be ping-ponged around for political exploitative reasons. So I'm sure the gazillionaires are probably starting to take offense to being ping-ponged around, Michael. I mean, the two political parties talk about them all the time. So I don't want to do that, but I'm looking at it like you're probably never going to get that money. There's no plan to collect the money, Michael.
Well, yeah, Rich, maybe
there is no plan to collect
maybe
the money.
It's time to do it in a few step plan. The plan could be this: corporations in America pay 18%. And that is it for the next 15 years. That's part one. Number two, and people go out and support the corporations that are in America so that they can employ more people, and the government and everybody, the local communities, will get more money from the people from their weekly paychecks. So we'll make it up and let all the corporations that left sell their stuff to America in part, but also around the world. Why should America be the sales point of everything from around the world when we have a low percentage of our own products in America stores? If you can tell me that, I'll be happy.
Well, more people, Michael, probably, and Mark, I don't know this for sure, okay? I'm going to say this. Maybe I'm mistaken on it. I think that on average, people probably are more more so influencing things through their wallets than through the voting booth. I mean, Michael, you have to remember the midterms that passed back in November. You had 34% turnout.
Mm-hmm.
So 66% of voters stayed home. So that means that the politicians are vying for that little segment. Now, of course, they'll tell you that they're vying for everyone and get out the vote and all that other BS. In reality, though, they know that people don't vote mostly. So that's why these groups that we hear a lot about them all the time in the news, because there are basically four main food groups, right, of politicians, and they talk about seniors and working families and gay and lesbian and immigrants, right? So those are like your four main food groups. So every time I say that stuff and I have people who identify themselves as progressive, they always come at me like, you know, that sounds bigoted and well, Rich, that's who votes. And I tell them, no, correction, that's not all who votes. There are people who aren't seniors and who don't have kids and who aren't gay and lesbian and who aren't immigrants who also vote. But, Michael, they don't need to be talked about because they're a smaller segment of that voting population. So the politicians know they're only going after, I don't know, what's it going to be next year in our Jeb versus Bush monarchical, quasi-monarchical election, which I know Larkin's predicted it won't be Clinton, and I hope he's right. But I've said 2 years ago, I bet you if I went back on our past broadcast right around the time of the 2012 election, I probably said Clinton versus Bush. And if I didn't say it on air,
you
those
did.
Of you guys do know me. Okay, I bet I did.
You did.
So next year, you know, I don't know, 50% turnout? You know, that's probably what we're looking at, a quasi-monarchical. And just so all the listeners know, it's SERF is S-E-R-F. That's the peon in the royal monarchy system. It's not S-U-R. If you want S-U-R-F, get your ass out to the west coast of California to go surfing. You're the S-E-R-F.
You know, Rich, you said something a few minutes ago, and I agree. And that was something that I brought up a few years ago when Romney and Obama were discussing the corporate tax. That's all it was, breath. There was nothing in writing. If Obama put his position in writing and if Mitt Romney put his position in writing, exactly how are we going to get to the point that we're going to lower those corporate taxes? I could tell you that a pink elephant just walked up Walnut Street in Philadelphia. That's all words. It means nothing. If I could show you a picture of the Loch Ness Monster with somebody standing next to it, then you'd say, oh, I at least saw some proof. Talk is cheap. Talk wastes time. Time is very valuable, and we are having our time wasted in America as we continue this nonsense with all these people running for office, getting up there and speaking. I would love, they, Christie announced that he's going to be a candidate now for governor. Wonderful. It's just another person on the list. If Christie had gone for that announcement and he provided a one sheet of paper on two sides with all the ideas that he would like to begin the candidate forum with, I would say there's a man. We can look at what he has to say, what he would like to do as the president. All those little remarks and all, they're all great. Show me something in writing. We want to reach the 18% corporate tax rate. Man, that would really help. But how are we going to do that? If Obama and Romney had those statements, we'd still be able to look at them. We'd be able to go on Google and look those statements up and see, well, they had a good idea. Nothing happened. This happened as a result of it. There's nothing in writing. Did you see anything, Mark?
No, I haven't. And, you know, we're talking, you know, with the election coming up and how many people are running. I would love to see one just say, you know, come on a stage and say, I've got a plan.
Oh, you know, Mark, I have to tell you, two or three people wrote me with a few suggestions for the plan. I'm welcoming people.
Yeah,
right now, send me your suggestions. Send it to michael@americanworkersradio.com, and I'll add you to the list. And the day when Rich, Mark, and Larkin and all of us can be together here, we'll discuss your suggestions, and I'll make sure that it's done in the next few weeks. And from those suggestions, we can post it online. We can email it to each of the candidates and see what kind of response we get.
Well, Michael, I'll just throw out there that to me, the Democratic Party is in a great position, potentially, to perhaps better than ever make a case and persuade for that one of those four main food groups, right? Working families. Because the thing is, Michael, gazillionaires will do well no matter the economy, okay? They've done well no matter the president, no matter the ruling class of Congress. All D's, all R's, a mix of D's and R's. Where it's really at, is in that middle group. And I know we can argue that the middle group is shrinking, and we know that the wages are at 1960s, 1970s levels when factored for inflation. But that, Michael, see, that's, Mark, that's where it's at. Because That middle group, that middle class group, they're the ones that will start small business. They're the ones that are consuming the most. The biggest consuming group in the United States is the middle class, and we are a consumer-based economy. That's 70% of our economy, right? Consumer consumption, buying things.
And as the consumer base is going down because they're being overcharged for every imaginable product and also adding taxes to their fuel bills, their telephone bills, and all this and that, federal air tax, this and that, there's less pennies to go into the system. When gas went down, Greg Lestusky told us from Gas Buddy that every penny is $1 billion into the economy. And if yet no one is saying, wait a minute, we got down to $2.65 a gallon. Why can't we keep it there for a while and let those extra pennies, those 15 or 20 cents per gallon, go into the economy to help our businesses?
But, Michael, we've got those pennies you talk of. We've got trillions and trillions and trillions of those pennies overseas.
Absolutely.
All that corporate tax, all those monies. Because many of the companies, Michael, and you've got Ingersoll Rand, for example. I'll just use them as one example. Their jackhammers built Mount Rushmore. Well, they're in Cleveland. But that's not where they're incorporated. They're incorporated over in Ireland. Top of the morning to you.
Yeah.
They're out there drinking their Guinness at 8 a.m., Michael, on that deferred corporate taxation. Why? Because they say, 10% in Ireland, 35% in America. You know what? Another round. Next round's on me.
Yep.
So there you go, Michael. So,
yeah.
I'm not looking to pick on Ingersoll Rand. I'm not trying to isolate them and pick on them. I'm just using them as an example. But there are many, many of those examples, Michael. So if the Democratic Party were to say the way that we're going to really get this thing going forward is by talking to those countries, right? You sit them down and you ask them a question. You look them right in the eye, you ask them a question. You say, if we were to waive this tax, whatever you owe, or we were to lower it to X percent, would you bring money back here, and would you, at that point, start refurbishing warehouses?
Well, Rich, is that one of the questions you would like to have on the? Is that one of the questions you would like to have on that?
Well, Larkin's brought up supply chain. What I want to know is if you sit down with the CEOs of these companies and you all ask them that, and you ask them that question, Michael, because if they say no, well, you're no worse off anyway. So if you ask them that question about bringing money here, deferring or waiving that, I should say not deferring because they already defer it. You waive the tax, you eliminate the tax entirely, or you get it down to a tiny little rate that's better and more competitive than any other country around the world. And then you ask them, if this money comes back, you're going to put it in warehouses, you're going to put it in training, you're going to put it in jobs. And a lot of these companies, Michael, I've got to think, I don't know this, but I've got to think they'd say, yeah, sure.
I would think they would want to do that because they see that America's consumers are starting to walk away from just saying, I'm going to buy whatever's on the shelf. You go into stores, you will see less people. I've gone into stores and I've asked managers these days and they say, well, a lot of people are buying online, but honestly, a lot of people just don't have any money to buy anything.
Yeah, the disposable income's down for sure. Now, me as a business, General Welding and Made in America, if I had paid less taxes, I would invest in equipment and whatnot. But we got to remember, the more businesses we bring back into the country and grow in the country, the pool that we all pay into should go down and lessen for everybody, which never seems to work out just right. But that should help. We want to grow our manufacturing, again, grow our communities, and really help get the money here and keep the money here.
Keep the money circulating in the USA. I'm not against imports. God knows I'm not against the foreign investment. But the thing is, I want to see America first. I have to take a moment to acknowledge a few of our people. As we get closer to the 4th of July, I have best wishes to all of you from the Sugar House Casino located at 1001 Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. Check them out at sugarhousecasino.com. And I'm pleased to announce that the Net Cost Market now has two locations in Northeast Philadelphia. One is at 117,001 Busselton Avenue, that's at the Leo Mall, and the other is at 2417 Welsh Road, that's just off Welsh Road and the Roosevelt Boulevard. For more information, you can check them out on the internet by going to netcostphilly.com. Best wishes also from everyone from Polka Deli at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, from Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. Happy 4th of July from everyone from the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, as well as from Pat's Auto Tags with three locations in Philadelphia to serve you. And Washington Savings Bank and their president, Martin Bednarik, wish all of you a very enjoyable Independence Day celebration, as does Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law representing clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Also, best wishes for a great holiday. Thanks for supporting American Made from Karen Janod of State Farm Insurance, handling auto, home, and life insurance. For more information, give Karen a call at 215-862-5490. And for a great smile, remember, Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental wish all of you the very best. They're located in Northeast Philadelphia. Best wishes also from Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the Polish National Alliance, serving Polonia in all 50 states. And also, as we have a great celebration for the 4th of July taking place in Philadelphia, Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, wishes you and yours the very best, as does everyone from Serena's Auto Body Shop, with two locations, one at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And also Mr. Joseph Drobot, National President of the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, extends all of their national members the very best. As the Independence holiday is being celebrated, make sure you support American Made. Best wishes also from Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, who has two offices in Philadelphia, and from Dr. Eva Machak, and she also has two offices in Philadelphia to serve all of your needs. And as you're out and about during this 4th of July celebration, make sure you spread the word about American Workers Radio, because we want our family of listeners all over the USA to continue to grow. And as always, when you go on the front page, you will see Larkin Connolly. Click on his picture and you'll see the efforts of SCORE. Click on Rich Logis and you'll see what RJL Technology Integration does. And of course, Mark Andel is the founder of the Made in America store. You can click on Mark. He has some great t-shirts, some new t-shirts up there, and 6,000 other products that will make you proud to support his efforts. Mark is celebrating his fifth anniversary, and of course, he is going to be on our broadcast for a long, long time. Thank you, Mark, for all that you do. And remember also that this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is Independence Day weekend, is National Small Business Weekend, the July edition. Make sure you go out and support your local businesses. And while you're there, make sure you let them know that you're a supporter of National Small Business Weekend, which is promoted on American Workers Radio. And in fact, invite them to listen in anytime by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, gentlemen, we are days away from the 4th of July, and it's another opportunity to celebrate America as the greatest nation on earth. No matter what anyone says, America is the greatest nation on earth and definitely the greatest consuming nation on earth. And as Americans, we all stand for freedom, peace, and justice. Our people wear many uniforms, be it Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and countless others, but we all salute one flag. And that's the most important message that I can give you as we celebrate the 239th anniversary of America's independence, which is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Make sure you display your American flags proudly. Mark, what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I'm glad we're touching. What a great weekend it is. You know, we're looking forward to the celebration. Our stores are open, and Mike, as destinations and people visiting Niagara Falls and Elma, people have been wonderful. We've had buses coming. I know, Rich, I talked to you. You know, last weekend, Saturday, we had four buses, and buses are coming, and we had Nashville, people, Wisconsin yesterday, Milwaukee. Chicago, but it's great to see the people. And you know what? The people are great in America. Great to see. They love what we're doing. They love to see what Americans are making. But I just want to tell everybody, fly your flags proudly this weekend. Think of your veterans serving and those not so fortunate can't be home. And just enjoy this weekend. It's really something to have our independence and something we never, ever want to even think about losing.
Absolutely, Mark. You're absolutely. What would you like to add to that, Rich?
Yeah, just to reiterate, Michael, and echo it, this is a time of year I always particularly look forward to. I just want to give a shout-out to our listeners who are with us every week and listen to our rants, and some of whom communicate with me to tell me when they agree and when they disagree. Also a shout-out to some of our vets whom I know listen as well. Regardless of our opinion of our dalliances overseas, the troops are always above that. I just like all of us, I know all of us, there's never a bad word to ever come out of our mouths regarding our veterans, both past served as well as currently serving.
Absolutely.
Everyone be safe. 4th of July on a weekend can be dangerous proposition, so everyone just take care out there.
You said something, Rich, and it just hit me again. As I hear, being in social services, I have the opportunity to talk to people about resumes and job opportunities and things like that. It really upsets me to see a veteran come back from foreign service, come back to the United States after 2 or 3 years, and the company that they work for has downsized, moved, or whatever, and they have to restart after being called up to be in service to America. Many of our veterans have had some medical difficulties, and yet we take care of them, but after they're taken care of, they don't have the jobs that they need to go to, and that really concerns me. And I, as you go out and you shop, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you ask if there are any products made by veterans. The reason I'm telling you this is because we have to start putting this in the minds of all the stores. The store managers and all don't think that they just forget about what you say. They don't. I don't forget about most things that people say to me in passing. I remember that, and I take that to heart. When I do see a good person coming out of college and they tell me, well, I got a great degree, it was a great graduation, we had a great party, the family was over and all. And the biggest question I try to avoid during that family graduation party is, did you get any job opportunities? And the answer is, yeah, probably I'll go to the shore and all. They had some new statistic at the Jersey Shore that more Americans are being employed at the Jersey Shore this year than ever before, and that's wonderful. But the shore season ends in September. Where do those young people go starting mid of September or October the 1st? This is the problem. So when you're out there, don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to or embarrassed to show that people that you're waving your flag and you're speaking up, using your tongue to support something positive. And that's my message. We got a system in America that has to be changed. We have an election coming up, and I don't see even one person, Mark, maybe I'm wrong, I don't see one person that has put two lines on the table about what they're going to do to improve America's economy. Have you seen that?
No, and again, we talk about it. We want to see this And I stress, again, the Made in America. Of course, I'm the Made in America man, right? But the more, you know, people can go out and see. But we're looking at all these runners up for president. But, you know, we've got to look for that qualified guy. We talk about it a lot. Rich, it's like an interview. We got to interview. But people got to get involved, get educated on who's running, and really go out. I think from talking, Rich, when you say 30, 40% only vote, the way you can screw this thing up this time is everybody vote, right?
Well, if everyone see Mark, the thing is,
you can really screw it up, right?
It's funny you say that because you must be reading my mind right now, because the very thing that I was gonna bring up was, you know, the politicians always talk about get out to vote, and
but they really don't want you to, right?
The reality of it is that they have the R's and the D's. Through cooperation over the last many years, right? They've made it. I don't want to use the word impossible, but they've certain. Nick Traiano, who's been on our show, he went through it, right? As an independent, he had to get more signatures to get on a ballot. The R's and the D's, of course, have the lockdown on the debates and a lot of the campaign fund. The budget that was passed by the president, Michael. Had a very significant campaign finance clause in there for allowance for more money, more donations from individuals. And that was worked on by the Democrats and the Republicans. So the Democrats, see, again, this is their problem, Michael. Their problem is that do they want a campaign finance reform or do they not? Right? I you got Hillary Clinton who she is, you know, she's been talking a good game for really long time now, right? You know, of course, only talking to a good game for those who will vote for her no matter what. It doesn't matter what it is that she says. It doesn't matter. The votes will come for her no matter what. So their ultimate problem is always, do we agree with campaign finance or not? Do we agree with this law or not? Do we this, do we that? So let's get a pulse of the voters out there, the ones that we're vying for, Mark, the ones who do come out, right, the ones who will come out. So this is your this is ultimately where it's at, guys, and this is the thing I always encourage our listeners with, especially now this is appropriate Independence Day. One of the great freedoms that we have is what I call the freedom from. You don't like that product, don't buy it. You don't like that business, don't frequent it. You don't like that thing on the TV, turn it off. You don't like those candidates, vote for someone else.
But vote.
Exercise your freedom from, right? The freedom from the things there. So this all sounds, you know, this is wonderful and awesome and beautiful freedom, but it's, you know, Mark, it can be messy sometimes also, and it can be inconvenient. And what has happened with our voting electorate is that the majority of the voting electorate doesn't care compared to those who do care. And most of the reason they don't care is because they don't know anything. I mean, they know a lot about, you know, the stuff that all the nonsense that we bring up on air, right? Men turning into women and all that other crap. You know, like tons and tons about that stuff. Sports, all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you guys this, and I believe this right now as I'm speaking to you, just like I believed it since I've been on the show, and I'm going to continue to believe it. There is, it's a minority, but there is a minority in this country. It's made up of all different races, religions, ethnicities, all that stuff, of people who really do care, people who are concerned, people who feel very urgent about all the things that we talk about. But as that minority, the challenge is trying to convert that minority into the majority. That's really ultimately the challenge in all of this. So, Michael, when I tell you maybe we waive the tax, bring the businesses back, is that going to work? I have no friggin' idea.
But, you know, Richard, there's something that happened in America when jobs were still plentiful, say maybe 10, 12 years ago. From that time before the 10 or 12 years, people in America didn't care. They simply didn't care because most of them had jobs. They didn't care. They were buying cheaper stuff at the store. Whatever store they went to had whatever they had and they bought it. But now that people have less jobs, less money, less security, they are starting to come around to our way of thinking. It's 10 years too late, 15 years too late, maybe even 20 years too late. And that's why this type of a broadcast is very important. I now know that there are many broadcasters in this system who will not take up this subject. I mentioned a few weeks ago that many radio and press people stay away from it. They ignore the American-made groups because the advertisers represent non-American-made groups. Our mission is to turn that around so that more is made in America, so those people can advertise and then speak up the way they want to speak up. This is part of the problem we have in America. The major press chooses to ignore movements of any type that could hurt the friendship that they have with their major donors, their major advertisers. And that's the bottom line. I have frank conversations. That's why I'm very pleased that I have 21 radio broadcasts that put on my weekly commentary on their radio shows because they slip it in on the public service time, which is at the end of the broadcast. So they do that because they're for the movement, yet they do not want to insult some of their car dealers or whatever that advertise because they know the cars are foreign made and, you know, and that's where the problem is. We're in a very difficult situation. As I said many times, we can all plan for a great outdoor picnic, a great outdoor 4th of July or Labor Day or whatever, but there's one thing we can't predict, and that's the weather for an outdoor event. We're outdoors now. We're looking for shelter.
Yeah, I've got a big outdoor event this weekend, guys, called Jam in the Valley. We got 8 national acts there, and we put our little store there, and it's been raining here, 6-7 inches of rain in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, God, you so went from...
People can get the grill. If people need a grill, they can come to you for that.
Oh, that's right.
We're and Mark, those shirts, those beautiful T-shirts that I saw you sent an email out about, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, we got some nice ones, even Jack Daniels ones coming up, and just some nice, nice shirts. I got a nice P-TECH meeting this afternoon, too, working with skilled trades I'd like to talk about next week, how the schools are getting together, opening up this P-TECH to kind of listening to us. You know, they're realizing they got a problem. They better start teaching these kids how to work with their hands.
Guys, I want to thank people like Mike Sessions and Go for USA and the American Lion, the Alliance for American Manufacturing, and everybody that's out there promoting our efforts. We're going to do a lot more things as time goes on, and in fact, we are going to reinstate November as American Made Month. Mark, I'm going to look forward to you being a major part of that, and all of our panel and all of our listeners. Because this is how we make change happen, going out and speaking up in behalf of one another. Guys, until next Wednesday, I wish you a very happy 4th of July. To all of our listeners, my best wishes to you for an Independence Day celebration. Make sure that you go out and fly your flag proudly at your house and throughout your car, wherever you're going to do it, at your picnic. Take an American flag, be proud of who you are and what you're trying to do to help your country.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys. Remember, freedom is precious.
Freedom is precious. Thank you so much, Mark and Larkin, and also to Rich, Henry Chaplinsky and family and everybody that is out there. Have a great one.